Hi everyone. It's crazy that I'm up here with my nephew, but it's exciting, isn't it? Like, isn't that like just God just being amazing? So I've got a slideshow, which is quite exciting. I got up quite early this morning to finish this off. So we're doing a series on the Bible. John Mark Comer has like really gone deep with it. He's like this brilliant pastor in America, and he's written some phenomenal books. You should definitely read them. And he's also done this sermon series on the Bible, and we've been picking up and we've been looking at that, those elements too. So I really want to like give him a big heads up, because a lot of this content comes from him and his work and what he's looked into. So, memorization. When Mike messaged me and he said, right, Rachel, I want you to talk on memorization, I was like, oh, great, yeah, that's a discipline I do every day. Not. No, I'm actually not very good at that. And so it was definitely a challenge to my heart and a challenge to my mind and a challenge. And I went, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? this feels a bit much for me. But as I've really tried to seek the Holy Spirit and ask him about it, I've really noticed that actually scripture is very much part of my mind and part of my innermost being. So if we switch to the next slide, I've been really thinking about how our mind is like a garden. And God wants to just grow the most beautiful, fragrant flowers and vegetables and fruit and all this beautiful stuff. But often we get weeds in there, and it's not always that easy. Now, there's this guy called Hebb, and he created a law back at, well, he had a theory called Hebb's Law in the 1940s. And basically, the idea is that the way your brain develops is when you have connections, the more they connect, the stronger the connection goes. So it's a bit like a well-walked path. When you walk it over and over and over again, the tread becomes quite firm. And you can see in this picture that the tractor drives the same route each time, and that the crops don't grow there because that's the way the tractor's gone. So we get these treads in our mind, these links in our mind. And we can have like really healthy paths in our mind that take us to really good places, but we can also build connections that aren't so healthy, that aren't so good. Hebb sort of says, the neurons that fire together wire together. So the way we wire our brains is really important. And if we take our brains down certain paths that lead to darkness or lead to things that are not of God, we will more easily go down that route next time. But if we wire our brains and we meditate and we concentrate and we memorize scripture, actually, when things happen, that's where our brain goes. So we need to really think carefully about it. The Bible says 1,200 times to remember. So this is quite a big deal for God. He wants us to remember, to look at what has been and remember his faithfulness, remember his goodness, and remember who he is in it all. And Jesus, he was big on scripture too. Like over the four gospels, 180 times does he quote back the Old Testament. He knew it inside out and back to front. He was, yeah. And he would have learned it as part of his training. Right, if we pop on to the next slide. So the next slide I've put here, this is a picture of someone gardening, but a person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows in what to please their flesh, from the flesh will they reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit they will reap eternal life. And so how we garden our minds and our brains with the Lord is how what we will reap. And I think we all want to reap eternal life. That's where we're going. So on to the next slide. We've got the Holy Scriptures. And this is just a bit of a letter from Paul to Timothy. And it says, from infancy you've known the Scriptures and you're able to make you, and which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, in that time, in Jesus' time, all the young men, and maybe the girls, would have gone to the synagogue up to about the age of 14, where they would have learned to read and write, but they would have also learned to memorize the Scripture. It would have been like deep inside them. And this is really important for lots of reasons, and we're going to explore this as we go on. So, the next slide, I've got five reasons for why we should memorize Scripture. The first one is to hear God's voice. The next one is to help us with renewing our minds. We've got resisting temptation. We've got drawing on God's strength, particularly in times of trouble. And then we've got the edifying and lifting up of others. So let's start with, with the next slide, hearing God's voice. So, hearing God's voice, I put this scripture from John 10, like it talks about how we know the Father's voice. But actually, if you don't know the shepherd's voice, you won't follow on. And so we need to hear the Father's voice from scripture so that we are following him and choosing his way, choosing to go down his path. And as I was reflecting and I was thinking about doing this talk, I was like, God, where does scripture crop up in my life? And I look back almost like a timeline from the very beginning to now of just the places that God has put scripture into my life, different verses. My dad was a minister and we used to have to go to church every Sunday, and it wasn't very charismatic and there certainly wasn't kids work, and we were the only children. And I used to sit there, but on the wall there was this poster that said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. And I'd read it week in and week in because it was the only thing to do. and it sat and it rested and it embedded in my mind. It was planted there like a seed. So when I went away from God, when I chose to believe that my parents were slightly mad and that science had all the answers, I was a bit lost. This verse popped up. When I started looking and going, this can't just be it, this verse popped up. And God started to call me back. What he sows in your heart, he uses and he calls back. And then there's other times, like when I first became a Christian and I was insecure and I didn't know who I was and everything felt so hard. And he gave me this verse from Isaiah 43. And he said, but this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, I always put my own name in. He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you and I have summoned you by name and you are mine. And I meditated on that verse, you are mine. And from that place, I began to know who I was. I began to put new roads, new intracts, new neuron-firing elements to learn about who I was and who he saw me as. So scripture and memorizing scripture is a great way of just hearing God's voice in the day-to-day, in the moment, in the here and now. If we move on to the next slide, it's helpful to like renew your mind. To renew your mind. Like sometimes we have tracks in our mind. And sometimes we get like seeds that come in that float, like weeds that float into the garden, and we need to almost catch them and take them out before they hit us or before they root deep. And sometimes there's like deep roots in our mind that we need to dig out, that take a long time to work through. I find that often when I was growing up, I I went to a boarding school and there was like a lot, well, there weren't many girls, but there was a few of us girls. And we were so critical all the time of each other. And we would criticize and we would be mean and we'd be unkind. And I remember when I came to university and I would walk along the streets and just every person I saw, I had something critical to say in my mind. Like, oh, look at their shoes. Oh, look at this. You know, like in my head, this is what was going on. It's really ugly, and I'm really sorry about that. But it is, and I formed this root in my adolescence. And I had to take those thoughts captive. And I took that verse from 2 Corinthians, like you need to take those thoughts captive and present them to God. And what does God say about those people? And he just humbled me and he'd go, I love them. They're mine. I love the way they express themselves, Rachel. It was very humbling. But do you know what? I went to Wimbledon this week, and there were all these beautiful people wearing beautiful clothes, and there was this little critical spirit that just jumped back up. And I found it there, and it said, oh. And I think probably I was feeling a bit insecure. Probably. And it jumped back up, and I had to say, Jesus, what's going on? It's still there. That road was very well formed in my adolescence, but I was able to take that thought captive and then just celebrate all the diversity, all the goodness, all the wonderful things God was doing. So it's really easy to get ourselves trapped in a rut, but we need to get trapped in the rut of Jesus's ruts, of the Bible, what it says, who it says about us. So we're going to go on to the next slide, which is resisting temptation. I sort of talked about taking every thought captive and presenting it to God. And I'm going to be really open about a lot of my weaknesses, because I think that actually we all learn from learning about other people's weaknesses. And I've had like a real mindset shift of actually where we fail is an opportunity to learn and grow. And I want you to know that I am just as bad in some ways as everyone else here, but actually Jesus is making us all good. He's sanctifying us all, and he's doing an amazing thing. So resisting temptation. My husband and I have this thing where if we see someone of the opposite sex that turns our head, and you might find that that's not an issue for you, but we will tell each other because it brings it into the light. So we take captive those thoughts, those moments, because the devil, he drops temptations in areas that are weak for us. And he knows our weaknesses, and he'll drop them in, and we take those thoughts captive, and then we bring them into the light, and we expose them, and we are accountable about it. Because when that seed of temptation is in the light, it has no power. And Jesus did this as well. Like when he was in the desert, and I always think that this picture looks a bit like Jesus in the desert. He's there and the devil is tempting him, and he uses scripture to take those words that the devil is saying captive, and he chooses to defeat them with scripture. And we will face temptation every day because the devil wants to take us out. But if we have the words, if we have the truth of God in our mind, in our garden, in our hearts, then it has no power. And it's good that if you feel like it is taking a little bit of power, just to be accountable about that. Bring it into the light. Shine a bright light on it. Because then it has no power at all. So if we move on to the next slide. The next slide is drawing on God's strength. So the reality is that life is not always easy. And Isaiah 43 goes on to talk about if you walk through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And if you go through the fires, they will not burn you up. But the reality is that it's not easy. It's hard. Life can throw us some real curveballs that are just really, really, really tricky. But Jesus came. He came And he will walk with us through the darkest and through the hardest times. And if we have got the scripture and the words of truth in our heart, when those hard times come, we can really focus on them. And I've put this picture of a tree by the streams of living water because God uses it a few times. I've put Isaiah 61 here, but there's also Jeremiah 17, verse 8, and Psalm 1, verse 3. We are like trees that are planted by streams of water. And as we soak in the scripture, as it comes into us, as we draw it up into us, when the day of drought comes, when famine comes, when hardship comes, we will be rooted in him and we will still bear fruit. And I was thinking about an example to share with you, and I was remembering that man. What was his name? Horatio Spafford. I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, he was a businessman in Chicago in 1873. Can't find my notes quite where I wrote that down. And he had made some poor business decisions and things weren't going well. And then really sadly, his son died and he was like really heartbroken. So he thought he'd take the family on holiday to Europe. And he got on a boat. Well, he didn't get on a boat. He sent his three daughters and his wife ahead. But unfortunately, the boat sank and only his wife survived. And then he sailed out to see his wife. And as he sailed out, he wrote a hymn. And it's called "It Is Well With My Soul." This is a man who might have done some things wrong in the past, but he knew who God was. He knew where his roots were deep down, and he sought the Lord in his anguish and grief. And he wrote, "It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thought that has taught me to know, it is well with my soul." And I think there are times in our life where we will hit hard times, but God will always be with us in them. And it's knowing that he is drawing close and he will feed us. And I think if we have memorized scripture, if we brought it to heart, he will allow that to enrich us and support us in that hard time. And then the last one that I have done is edifying and lifting up those around you. Now, I love memorizing scripture for this reason, and it's not so much that I've memorized it, it's more that God has put like main scriptures into my life at different points that have impacted me, and then I found that they've soaked in, they've sort of come into my mind, and I guess I have allowed the gardener to prune them and to help them to grow. And then when I pray for others, I find that the Holy Spirit will bring up these scriptures. He will alert them to me. And John Mark Comer, he says this really lovely thing. He says, it is for us to learn the scriptures, and that allows the Holy Spirit to bring them to the surface when we need them. It's his job, Holy Spirit's job, to bring the scriptures to the surface as and when we need them. And it's just beautiful to be able to just like pray over someone and really hear the Holy Spirit and what he's got to say and to give them a scripture or a picture or a word. I love that he does that. I love that that is an overflow of the scripture in your life, of your garden, that you can give that to other people, that you can share with them his heart. So we'll move on to the last, well, not quite the last slide. So what John Mark Comer talks about, well, what the Bible talks about is this beautiful moment in the Bible where Jesus is there on the cross And it's from Matthew 27, and you can turn to it in your Bibles and have a read if you want to. And it says, from noon until 3 PM, darkness came over the land. And about 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? Sorry, not very good at reading. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, you might know or you might not know, but that is actually Psalm 22. Jesus will have memorized Psalm 22. All of his disciples will have memorized Psalm 22. And as he shouted that out on the cross, the whole of that psalm would have come to him, and the whole of that psalm would have come to his disciples. And I was going to read through the psalm, but I feel like we probably haven't got a huge amount of time. But what I say to you is go away and read that psalm. Read where Jesus was getting his strength from, where he was renewing his mind, where he was hearing God's voice in that moment of desperation, where he was drawing strength from, and also where he was lifting up his disciples in that moment of despair. So as we finish, and we'll finish on the last slide, I want you to think about what are the new shoots in your life. What are you cultivating in your garden, in your mind, in your brain, in your heart? How does your garden grow? Are there areas that you think, actually, I would like to see sow more things in that are godly, more scripture, more truth? Are there areas of your life that maybe need a bit of pruning back because actually you focused too much fertilizer there and it's not healthy? It's gone a bit wild. And I would just encourage you to take the time to peruse your garden with the gardener, with Jesus. Ask him what scripture he's planted in there over the years. Ask him what's the next scripture that he wants to plant. And really meditate on that and work on putting that scripture in. Now, for me, I'm not great at memorizing. I find that songs are really helpful. Like when we sing psalms, that really sticks in my brain. And it'll go round and round and round, and I love it. I love dwelling on that. So for me, that's really helpful. They say that it's really good to read it aloud because actually we process words auditorily as opposed to seeing them written down. So if you read it aloud, it's much more likely to stick. If you start small and build up, maybe a line, and you could concentrate on that for a week, get that down, and then you could choose the next line to do. And then you could build up and build up as you go. It might be that you've got a few lines of scripture that are really beautifully cemented, but actually, that whole chapter is phenomenal. Can you build up to that? Is that the next thing? Or the other thing to do is to choose something that has meaning to you. For me, that is where I'm at. If it means something, if it speaks into my life at the moment, then that is what is going to stick. And I know I'll be motivated to do that. But I would encourage you to go on a journey of planting seeds of scripture, getting them to grow, working on them growing. And not in a way that is legalistic, but in a way that is loving and fruitful and knowing that God's going to use this in your life to help you in all of those times. Right, thank you very much. Sorry? Oh, yeah. So Isaac's asked me to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are here with us. I thank you that you just love us so much. And I thank you that you've given us your word and that it's so beautiful and so wonderful and so enriching. And Lord, that you have dropped it into my mind without me even knowing in many ways. You've just cultivated it in my heart, Lord. But I pray that as we, as a body, as a group, go out from today, that you will drop more scripture into our hearts, that you will help us to be intentional, and that you will help us to really love memorization and love your word and see the fruit and the goodness that you've got in it. And I pray, Jesus, that you will bless us to go out and to share your love with everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.